Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife voicemail system. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Collective. This is our little bonus interview with one of our newest faces around here, or voices, Shay. Say hello,
hello,
Shay.
Hello, Shay.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. We talked about I was moving,
yeah?
And I'm exhausted. South Carolina is hot as hell, but I'm getting through it. It's cool. Loving the South.
I'm ready for winter, like, now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If there could be, like, a mini ice age, I would be okay with this.
I'm ready for that, but I don't think we get winter here. I heard we get a week of scarf weather, and, you know, I look really good in scarves, so I think I have my outfits lined up already. And until then, I'm going to sweat and maybe lose weight. That's a plus. It's going to be great. I have a pool here, so that works out.
Yeah, I don't have a pool here in my little house in Texas, but I have a beach that's like 10 minutes away that I never go to because it's too to get in my car to go to the beach. It is.
Charleston's an hour and a half away, so I could do that. But I won't because my car sucks. And it's a little too political down there for me right now, a little too hot. I don't have time for that. So 10 minutes, you said.
Yeah.
Okay. I could do that.
Yeah, but this is Texas, so 10
right.
minutes feels like about 8 hours in your car.
Right.
And it doesn't matter
right.
if you have air conditioning or not because it's so fucking hot. So once you get to your car, you burn your fingers, like, trying to start your car. And then, yeah, it's just, you know, they'll be there, like,
I'm with you.
Winter time. I'll go to the beach when there's, like, no one there and all the fish have died. And,
okay. No, come up
yeah.
here. We'll go to Myrtle. Desolate.
Okay, that sounds good.
Great. Middle-aged people, retirees, it'll be fantastic. We'll drink wine on the beach, have mimosas, strawberries.
Yeah,
burgers.
I like hanging out with older people. They're cool.
Yeah, they're
they
really
tell
legit.
Me, like, stories of war and, you know, how all their family have died and all that kind of depressing shit. I'm
exactly.
Good.
That's where you get those stories you like. So, all right, I guess we have plans. Solidified.
Well, if people can't know from our conversation, we've known each other since high school, so.
Long time. Your sophomore
yeah.
year, exact. My freshman year. So
true.
That's where you're at. It's been a really long time. Long ass time.
It was in a class.
Sociology class? Sociology
yeah.
class. Right? Yeah.
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 You
I think
you were the only underclassman in that class.
Okay. Yeah, it was pretty great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So let me ask you about your beliefs about the paranormal. Like, what do you personally
sure.
believe in, if anything?
So I think you know about I told you about my experience after my parents divorced.
Mm-hmm.
When I was staying with my grandparents, and my mom still thinks I had a night terror. I don't believe I had a night terror. I believe that was a UFO experience, or she thinks it might have been more of a apparition or a dream or something else. So there's that side of the paranormal that I really think is there. There's the other side of paranormal people think of, like ghosts and apparitions and things like that. And I would have to say that I fully believe in that. I think that when we die, we leave pieces of ourselves behind, and we have all these romantic poems about it, and haikus, and songs, and I think that it's just this undertone in our culture and society that people believe in, but we talk about it, but we don't, because it also reminds us of death. But I really think that exists. And then there's the other paranormal where you have your mythical creatures like vampires and werewolves and stuff like that. I'm a little more skeptical in that realm. I'm still a person that thinks that anything is definitely possible. I just think that if those creatures exist, I don't think we'll ever know. I think that they would do a good job shrouding themselves in the cloud of darkness. Because as humans, we like to kill everything we don't understand. We kill each other just for the hell of it. So if I was a freaking vampire, there is no way I'm going to come out with my sparkly body. Yes, I like Twilight. And Anne Rice, so it's okay. There's no way I'm going to come out and say, hey, world, I like blood, which is you, blood bag. So there's no way. But I could see, you know, anything is possible in our universe. You know, they keep finding these planets that are, you know, light years away that look just like ours. And it's just like anything is possible in our world as long as you're open to it with a little bit of skepticism. A little bit of skepticism. I think some people are here also crazy. Crazy town. They need to get back in their pocket. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely I've heard some crazy stuff from people. Which is it's their right to believe in whatever they want. So I'm really one of those. I am skeptical. And I don't mind, you know, having someone come on just like last night, Ray came on and told us about his version of vampires and what he believes in, which, you know, it was good. He talked a lot because I had to, I was sneezing. So I was like literally on the show trying not to sneeze while he was talking. it was interesting. His, type of vampire is called the Morari, which with help
Where
of
have I
my
heard
friend
this before?
Vampire Academy.
I've heard this name.
The movie uses it.
Okay.
So I've never heard the term. I guess my friend Anthony Hogg, shout out to him. He's probably listening. He kind of gave me some information this morning about it. But I guess his vampires were some kind of branch off of humanity that kind of went the other direction. Basically, they can live. They look like humans, act like humans, have human DNA, but I guess they live in the shadows and they are forever in need of energy. To survive. So, you know, really interesting. Do I believe in it? No. I mean, unless someone can show me scientific proof of something, there's still always that, you know, window of doubt. So, really interesting.
It's an interesting theory. I mean,
it
seems kind of... Yeah, I don't think I've heard that term on Vampire Academy, which I watched 2 weeks ago. Just ironic that I just finally watched that movie. And entertaining as it was, that was definitely a play on words. I mean, that would be, I'm a little suspicious of when they bring up these specific kind of, you know, cults or family names that come from a big blockbuster hit. For me, that's kind of fishy. And I think you're right, your friend, because I did read on Facebook, your friend Anthony brought that up. Hi, Anthony, you're also kind of cute. How are you? But, whoa, don't want to get too saucy. But I think it was kind of fishy. Well, he was. I mean, I'm not, you know me, I'm going to say what I feel. And it was just like, hello, how are you? Who are you? Who are you? but, yeah, that seems kind of iffy. But if I was a 16-year-old girl living in a boarding school somewhere in, like, the middle of Vermont, absolutely, because then it would be right up my alley, because I could, like, run away with the Morai, which also sounds like makes me a Mariah Carey, but I will also leave that alone. So
there's just a whole bunch of Mariah Careys that are vampires. That'd be kind of truly terrifying. Should just be right around, like, screaming.
Vampires running around, singing to the top
and
of
the
lungs.
And you'd have to...
And then biting you? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Can't handle
And then, you know, that'd be kind of scary. I think they should make that a movie. And then it would just be Mariah Carey running around. Maybe we could throw in Blade.
Like glitter. Mm.
Oh,
glitter
my God.
Meets Blade. Holy crap. If you bring Wesley Snipes and Mariah Carey together, get the fuck
yeah.
out. There you go. Instant classic. Cult classic. Better than Fight Club,
yeah.
I think. When it really boils down to it.
They stood up. Someone right now is going to be writing that script and calling Mariah Carey up and being
like... put our names on it. Please put Shane
yeah.
and Ashley on that. Whoever's writing this script, you better get some... I want some royalties. I'm a
so
poor law student. Please throw some... Yes. Can we... You know what? Here's my thing. And I've thought about this long and hard. I've written trash into this show. I don't know why, but I really thought about this because I know you really enjoy the cult, especially, and the paranormal has to do with vampires. And I've been to New Orleans a few times, and I see what you're talking about. But I think that if vampires were to really exist, I really think they would be a twist and a combination of what you see in Anne Rice, like Interview with the Vampire, and your very old vampires who keep to the shadows, they're very classic. And then with what Stephenie Meyer did in Twilight, where you have this family, these like, coven of vampires, whatever they call themselves, that live normal lives and then that move every 20 or 30 years because they want to blend in. Not the sparkly part, not that 12-year-old bullshit, but the way they live. And that's why I think if vampires were real, we would never know because they'd be your next-door neighbors. And then in 10, 20 years when they would notice they're not aging, they would up and move, which is normal in our American society because we have planes, trains, and automobiles and the internet, so people can move to San Francisco for a job. People move to Barcelona for a job. So that's not unheard of. So
but my question is, do they go to high school for those 30 years?
Yes,
because
of course they go to high school. High school's fun.
That's
kind of
some special kind of hell, like to want to go to high school. For 30 years.
There's
or
the
whatever.
Tortured vampires. They like to torture
they're
themselves.
Like apparently,
Edward.
Because I wouldn't mm-hmm. want to go to high school. But also, Edward was, like, looking for his virgin girl, you know, the one.
Right.
But
then you have, like,
so,
Brad Pitt's character in Interview with the Vampire, also a tortured soul. And he was looking for reasons to torture himself. And if he looked young enough, would he go to high school? Yes, I think he would. I think you would love some teenage angst.
I like,
you know,
Anne Rice should write a book where vampires go to high school. Oh, God.
It would be
my
so
thought.
Dark. It would be so, I don't know if I could handle
it. It would be fine.
I think that book, that book would be Vampire Diary, like Vampire Academy meets Vampire Diaries meets A Walk to Remember. No.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely
yeah.
fucking not. I would just cry the whole time. I think she would make it so dark and sexy. And then I feel real watching 16-year-old get it on. And then it would just be... That's a whole other can of worms, you know what I mean? Makes me feel funny.
Well, her last book, I know you probably haven't read it, but it was almost damn near her, like, deciding that vampires should go back to high school. And so she's almost there anyway. So she just needs to fill up her bourbon glass. And get to typing about, well, Stat deciding I don't have anything else to do with my immortality, so I'm just going to go back to high school because I never went to high school, and that would be funny. So, type.
So that would be like the, what's that movie? Like the Drew Barrymore and Never Been Kissed where she goes back to high school and like relives
oh,
it
yeah.
kind of. So this would be like a quirky romantic comedy with Lestat.
It could be like Never Been Bitten. And it's just like
oh my God, I'm writing this down. Could you imagine him in colors like fuchsia, teal, the colors all guys wear this day and age? The polos, the different color shorts. Like I can see him with a crew cut.
And
really?
Some scarf.
Ray-Ban?
And
oh
yeah.
With some
scarf. He'd be so hipster.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great. And then, see, the problem
would
be...
You think he'd be a
be,
hipster?
Oh, yeah. He'd be,
no,
like... You think he'd be, like, a jock or a hipster?
I don't think he'd be a hipster because he couldn't be the hipster or rocker because people would expect that because, you know, he'd be this weepy, oh, I'm a vampire, I'm mysterious, I'm shrouded. Get the fuck out of here, okay? I really think that he would turn out to be a J. Crew model, okay? So I think he'd wear the polo. You know, like, the 80s prep? He'd be 80s prep. So white shorts, polo, sweater tied around the neck, with Sperry's. He has his hair gelled to the side. He has this random yacht that his dad owns, although his dad is dead. And, you know, he's always just like, hey, kids. You know what I mean? His kids, his parents are always away for the weekend. He's having cocaine parties. I really think that'd be him. I think he'd embrace his party side. But with a classy,
yeah.
I have money kind of way. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he could, like, you know, pick on all the real nerds and,
mm-hmm.
you know, his yeah. only issue would be, you know, he couldn't really get laid because all the girls think he's gay. And that's okay.
Right.
But, you know, he would, you know, have to try to curb his appetite for blood. It'd be funny. I think Anne Rice should write this down and make a comedy of it because her last book was kind of a comedy. So it wasn't really meant to be a comedy.
I
laughed. And then, oh, I think she should just, you know, venture out a little bit and do some comedy.
I don't know if Anne Rice is the venturing out type. Like, she ventured out into this side, but for her to change her MO and to do something kind of standard, because that'd be almost like the standard fun romantic comedy type thing. I don't know.
She could do it. I believe
something
it.
Mainstream. Okay. I mean, all right.
They just got to find the right person to play with that. So.
Right. Well, as long as they do, as long as she teams up with Christopher Nolan for the soundtrack, obviously, because he's the best at that, and adding that darkness, and if we could throw some, like, J.J. Abrams in there, or if we get some Michael Bay. I love explosions. If we could do that. If we
yeah,
get the
just random explosions
together.
Throughout the movie.
Yes, yes. Vampires.
And it scares him. Like, every time it happens,
yes.
it's just really random. Like,
him.
You'll be in the scene.
Freak out.
It scares him, and he flies away, and then he has to come back. And he's like, whoa, what happened?
goes,
and then
you
just have Channing
bat.
Tatum
Guano everywhere.
Be a little sad.
That would be great.
And you'll yeah. have, like, shirts that say, come at me, bro. And it'll just be Channing Tatum with long blonde hair and kind
oh,
of like
God,
a surfer voice.
No, Channing
yeah.
Tatum is
and
way
then,
too buff
and
for
then
this role.
There'll be a moment in which he'll just do, like a sexy dance time and stripping for no other reason other than it'd be nice.
You know who played his character? Seriously? The guy, and I'm only seeing the first one, what's it called, Divergent? So the main guy, her, like, love interest.
Oh,
God. I feel like he could do it. He's got the dark hair and everything. We could change it around. But
he's
buff, but not too buff. He's tall. And he just, I feel like
I know,
he could
but he's like
accent.
Mr. Puppy Eyes. You know, he's got, like, puppy eyes and, like, big lips.
Yeah, but
I
think Lestat would just be, like, you know, sometimes puppy, sometimes intense. Because his face goes from intense to puppy real quick. Intense guys, that's the only two faces they have. I'm intense and brooding, or, oh, I'm so sad, look at me. You know what I mean? That's the only faces they have. That's it. So, I think he could do it.
This has been a very, people are going to be listening and being like, what is going on? But I guess we should get back up into talking about you.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about when you came down after Steven died. And you remember when we did the EVP session? You remember that
yeah.
with the voice? How did you feel after that? I never got to ask you.
Honestly,
like,
I never, after that session, because you know, we heard several things, but I think the one was where we heard,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it? It was like a voice. And it was right after you asked a question. And
mm-hmm.
every time a noise happened, it wasn't in the lulls where we're just kind of sitting waiting for an answer. It would be like within a few, 4 to 5 seconds after you'd ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so, for me, that was so, I mean, I think half of me was just wanting to be supportive in that process for you, because that was really important for you to, because you didn't get to have that with him. So it was really important for you
yeah.
to have that. And then the other half of me was a little bit kind of, I don't know, freaked out maybe. I haven't had too many experiences on my own. I've only had, I've had one experience with a lost loved one that was very strange and came out in the middle of nowhere, and it was had to do with smell. So this is the first time that I'd experienced something like that, and it was with you. It wasn't by myself. I wasn't just hearing shit. It was with another person, and we were hearing this together, and it was someone who was significant to you. And so, one, it kind of freaked me out, and two, it just made me really sad, but at the same time, it was kind of like, yes, I needed her to hear that he is there, he is okay. And
yeah.
That, so it was kind of, but it freaked me out because I didn't know if I was anything. I thought we would just do it and, you know, just have some fun. You and I like to have fun. We drink a little bit and call it a day. And then that happened. And that was something else. I don't even know.
Yeah.
And it was just you and I in the apartment. There was
mm-hmm.
no one there. We were
mm-hmm.
alone. There were no noises, like outside noises, because it was like in the middle of the night. So I can't explain what that could have been otherwise. I can't explain that. And you know me,
yeah,
I like to explain that. I can't. So I don't like it.
The backstory
I do, but I don't.
To this is 2013. A drunk driver hit me and my boyfriend, and he died. He passed away in the accident. So, shaking down about a month later, we were still going through the process of getting him cremated and all that. Well, you know, I've always had an interest with the supernatural and all that kind of stuff, of course. And one of the funny things that me and Steven had talked about, you know, afterlife, and he was like, well, you know, if I ever pass away, I'll make sure I make contact with you if there is an afterlife. So Shay comes down, and Shay's not at all entirely religious or anything of that sort.
No.
we were like, okay, so we did a EVP session on my phone, like no special equipment or anything. It was just, I put my recorder down and asked a couple questions and then played it back. And I guess the first time, remember, it was Ashley. Like, he said my name. It was
Ashley. Yeah.
Yeah. It was clear as day. And it was his voice. So it, like, freaked us out. And I was pretty much being haunted from the get-go. Things would fall off shelves. I would see his shadow, like, in the hallway. I knew he was there. And he was making it very clear that he was there. And it wasn't like it was some kind of grief and I was hallucinating because the stuff was also being verified by people like you. And I also have many, many more EVPs. I don't think this is, you know, after you left that I got verified by EVP specialist. So next time we meet up, I'll have to share you some of the other stuff he said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's pretty...
Well, 'cause it's expected that you're going to have these experiences, you know, after that, like, because you're almost looking for them, you know, for things to fall, or maybe you set something down, and maybe you picked up, moved it, or you're not sure, or when you're looking for stuff, you're more likely to find it. But when I came down, I didn't really expect anything, and I'm kind of a skeptic 101. So
yeah,
when I heard it, that was just like, oh, my God, she's being totally serious. I truly believed you in that moment. I was just like, okay, I'm with you. And it took all of that for me to hear his voice on your EVP saying your name and a couple of things, and that was just blew my mind, you know?
Yeah.
But
which,
I think,
you know,
it was interesting.
I'm still skeptical of
I think it's good to have healthy skepticism, but there's no way to what happened that night.
Yeah.
There's no way to, yeah. That's
yeah.
And you know what I think interesting is that happened in 2013 because that was March, February, and then I came in March when a month
mm-hmm.
after. But then the following semester, I was back in school, and you know my grandmother died following that. And it was like a year later, and she died, and just really suddenly called at 6 o'clock in the morning that my grandmother died and rushing home. And when I go back to school, and I think I told you this, I remember calling my mom, and I called my sister afterwards. I was in tears because I was in Dr. Schmier's class, Civil Rights and Liberties, taking an exam, and it was a midterm. And in the middle of the midterm, or no, it was the final because it was the end of it, I smelled her perfume, and it was super strong. And it was Sand and Sable, and it was the only perfume my grandmother ever wore. And no one was wearing perfume. Like, I hadn't smelled it, but I was stuck on this question about the lemon test for this court case, and I just smelled this perfume, and it was so strong. It lasted about, I don't know, 7 or 8 seconds, which seems really long when you're in the moment. And I remember tearing up, and I just went back to work. And then afterwards, I asked the girl next to me, Christina, I was like, hey, did you smell perfume? And she was like, no. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I ended up calling my mom and calling my sister in tears and telling them what had happened. My mom said, you know, she was with you. And it was just one of those things. And I thought of you and Steven in that moment when he had reached out like that. And it was in a moment, you know, when I was on this test. And this was like 3 weeks after she had died. So I was still struggling with her death. Because it was so sudden, I get to say goodbye, and I'm in this test, and here she is with me, and I could smell, like, she was sitting right next to me. And that's it. Those are the only two experiences I've ever had with the afterlife and with people that I knew. So I think it can be very powerful, and it comes at the right time. I think it. Yeah, they always know when, you know, they need to be here.
Yeah, and I, you know, there's definitely the smelling of things is one of the ways that supposedly spirits try to connect with us. So, you know, I think most definitely if there is an afterlife, your grandma was there with you, probably in a time of need because, you know, you're taking a test and she was there just so she knows that, hey, I'm here and things are going to work out. So I think that's the main message that spirits try to, especially loved ones, try to get across, is that, I guess from their angle, you know, when you pass away, life probably seems less complicated, you know, and I think they are probably like, we shouldn't stress so much, you know, like life leads you down some paths, so that's kind of a cool, I've never had any kind of smells that remind me of somebody. So it's usually just...
Oh, if you do, it'll come. It's really strong, and it just kind of like... Maybe not so strong, like, oh, my God, there's a lot of it, like, in the air. It's just, you'll smell that and nothing else.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know how I could explain it. There's no way... The only way I could have smelled it in this kind of way is if the person, the girl sitting next to me or in front of me, and it's like stadium in the back row, is if they had sprayed it right then and there. But we were all taking an exam, which was essay questions. Everyone's down. Everyone's head is buried. Everyone has their casebook open. And I'm just like, what is this? And Sand and Sable, most people don't even know the perfume. It's so old. It's mostly worn by old women. I never smell it anymore because it's sold at Walmart only now, I think.
Yeah.
So it's not even a popular perfume. And it'll take over all your scent. Not like strong, like, oh, God, I can't get away from it. But it's just the only thing you'll smell. And it was really nice. I think I just, like, teared up and started to cry a little bit. And it's really comforting. I think more than, like, us being shocked by hearing his voice. It was like, oh, my gosh, she was there. This is more like comforting, like someone wrapping their arms around you kind of thing. So I hope you get to experience that. Because it was really, it was good for me not being able to say goodbye to her, someone who was so important to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Our show's about to end. You know, it's only 30 minutes. Our shows are so quick. But I definitely wanted to do this so people can kind of get to know your background and kind of experience you for a little bit and your experiences. So that way, when you come to co-host once in a while, we'll, have some connections. So hopefully people enjoyed our little chit-chat.
I hope so. I'm a little more skeptic. I'm the skeptic of the two of us. I'm just, Ashley's like, yes. And I'm like, girl,
well,
maybe not.
I'm trying to prepare you to be a lawyer, so I want you to ask the tough questions and make people cry.
That's right.
Because that would be
That's
awesome.
That's right.
And
I would
I'll
love
just sit
to make
back.
Someone cry.
I'm going to be the good cop, you be the bad cop, and this is how it's going
to
work.
We need
Ray
again. I need to interview Ray.
Yep.
I heard about it. I think he needs a dose of Shay. Ray and Shay.
He needs to come back on. You should listen to last night's episode.
I think I'm
fully.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have to, you know, interview him because I couldn't get word in. And I was also trying to, you know, not sneeze.
Girl, you know me. I'm going to get a word in no matter what.
So we'll have to do that, but we'll also have some, definitely got some more interesting guests line up. And also, I would just love to do more chit-chats about, talk about certain topics, you know, UFOs and all that wonderful conspiracy stuff.
Oh, you want to talk about UFOs? I got you. You know I do.
Yeah.
You know I do.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it sometime soon. So, anyways, it's time for us to let go of the episode. It's already overtime, but appreciate you coming on, and we will be back next Saturday. I got to figure out what our show topic is going to be, so we'll be back next Saturday. So, toodaloos, everybody.
Bye.